Right now, we are talking the metropolis that is London and why they can't see beyond their own backyard. We're trying to find out what it is about Scott, well, trying to get you to convince them that there is life outside the M24. We've been talking to Graham Swain, who's as much a Londoner as a jar of jellied eels. But it's time. Let's try and understand this from the perspective of a Scot who's moved south. Now, and we've got on the line Ian McGarry, who's chief football writer with The Sun in London. Good morning to you, Ian. Oh, he's not there. We'll come to him shortly. Well, let's go to Jack in Govan, because Jack, I think, might be taking issue with some of what Graham's been saying this morning. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Morning, Jack.
Good morning. I'm afraid that Planet London has absolutely nothing that I want anything to do with. You're the biggest subsidy junkies in the UK, but you managed to hide that fact. You've sucked all the money that was meant to be used for poor and impoverished punters all over Britain to suck it in for the London Olympics. You remember, we haven't forgotten that all the money that was sucked in from the rail system for the London Tunnel. Can you justify at all why all the money in Britain that gets spent in London should be spent there just because you happen to be there and the Queen happens to be there? I mean, you know, Disney World there is the Queen.
Can I just say one thing? The Scottish Parliament. Who paid for that?
Well, brother, we did. You didn't.
We did.
No, you didn't.
This is about the money that's given to Scotland.
Yes. Given to Scotland. The thing, this is one of the biggest oxymorons that's ever been put out. Scotland has been, the fact is, successive Labour and Conservative governments hid the facts quite happily until there was no money left, that all the money that was generated in Scottish territorial lands and waters was going down south and they were getting some of it back. I'm not a nationalist, I've got to say I'm not a nationalist,
right.
But I don't buy into this, we're subsidy junkies. They've actually, English and London-based politicians destroyed Scotland's infrastructure to such an extent that we now are subsidy junkies.
Let's take it away from the politics a wee bit. What do you think, you know, of the views of Londoners, of us, as it were? Do you think they view us as a bit of a cultural backwater, or is that just us Scots having a wee bit of a chip on our shoulder?
I don't think there's a chip on the shoulders. We're absolutely fed up. We've been told how London's the best for everything. I don't mind what people in London do. If you live in London, good luck to you. Why you'd want to live there anyway, if you've any common sense, I don't really know.
Can I just ask, did you ever live in London? Have you experienced London other than going
the
weekend?
Apart from having to fly through London, which is bad enough, I mean, why would I want to go to London? There's nothing in London I want. You've absolutely got nothing I want there.
So but what have we got that they should want, Jack?
Cheap housing, cheap land.
Well, Graham.
Well, I mean, that's relative, isn't it? I mean, you can live anywhere in the world. It's relative to what you earn, to what you can afford to buy, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you take the point that 100 of the top UK companies are based in London, that's quite important. And 100 of the top 500 companies in Europe are based in London.
That is a good point. Like it or not, London is the capital, and a lot of the big centres, the big companies are based there.
And we can't just ignore that.
Sorry,
you're all going to be at a tangent here. It's dead simple. All the big lovey darlings and the guys in these companies all want to live in London because that's where they all stay. It's like a gentleman's club. That way they don't have to travel far to go to their meetings. That way they don't travel far to have to go to their clubs. That way they don't have to travel very far to make sure they get flights out of the country to go where they want to go.
You just argued the case for London. It's all there in London.
It's a self-perpetuating
have businesses up here too, Graham.
Sorry?
We have businesses too up here, and I've got a lot of colleagues and friends who really get so fed up that the Londoners always expect them to travel down for meetings, but they won't ever travel up here for meetings.
Well, let me just say another thing. In your news break, you mentioned the weather. Cloudy, outbreaks of rain, dull later.
It's not all about the weather,
though. The sun is shining down here. We feel good about life.
Well, Roddy says, I wouldn't bother trying to convince folk like Mr. Swale, as I'd much prefer if he and his company limited just stayed where they are. And I think Graham is happy to stay where he is anyway.
Well, yes, I am the sunshine.
let's bring Ian McGarry in, and he's the chief football writer of The Sun in London, a Scot who moved south, Ian.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you come across lots of people like Graham in London?
You do, and, you know, you kind of, I mean, for being obviously not born in England and living down here, you kind of, I kind of smile at it, to be honest, when I get that attitude. It's actually more hardcore than even Graham comes across, because some people who live in London, say live in North London, say they wouldn't even go south of the River Thames. So,
well, it's interesting you should say that, because Susan in Dundee is pointing out that it's just the same with the Central Belt bias here. People in Edinburgh and Glasgow think nothing exists outside their two cities.
Absolutely. I mean, anyone in the west of Scotland will tell you if you go east, you'll have had your tea already. So it's not unusual to have that kind of cultural and geographical sort of rivalry stroke divide. It's obviously a lot more intense once you do get south of the Watford Gap, because people in London do think the world revolves around this city.
And can I ask, how long were you in Scotland and how long have you been in London?
I moved to London in the summer of 2000 to work for the Daily Mail. So I've been here 10 years.
And you grew up in Scotland?
And I grew up in Scotland, yeah.
And why did you move down south, Ian?
I moved because of the opportunity, Shireen, to basically work in a much wider context in football. And to be quite honest, and you know, I've got lots of friends and colleagues who are still working on newspapers in Scotland covering Scottish football. And, you know, it's not really sort of that difficult to imagine that they're quite jealous in the fact that, you know, I work in the Premier League in England and watch Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United week on week, while they're sort of watching Kilmarnock versus St Mirren. And, you know, that's not to in any way denigrate Scottish football. And
well, it is.
No one would argue that the quality of football in England is much higher than the quality of football in Scotland, and that gap has actually got a lot larger since I moved 10 years ago.
Isn't that a bit sad, though, that we still feel that we have to look to London to progress our careers or you know, to get a more exciting version of our careers?
It is, actually. I mean, I think in my case it's slightly unique because football is kind of, you know, you do have to go. I mean, people at some point in, you know, the last 20 years, the Italian league has been the best in the world, and then the Spanish league was the best, and now the English Premier League is the best. So, I mean, I suppose you could say, well, if you were following that same path, and, you know, maybe I should move to Italy or Spain, and I might have to do that in the next 5 years. But unfortunately, Scotland, as we saw with Celtic's defeat in the Champions League qualifier on Wednesday night, is never really going to compete anymore on the world stage in terms of club football, and has been struggling in the last 10 years to even compete on the international stage with the national team. So
it's all about your specific job. If you weren't in that specific job, would you have made that move south?
Shireen, I have to say, to begin with, it was, because you know, myself and my family moved south for my job, my career. But I have to say now, I've got three children, three boys aged between 11 and 3, and the opportunities afforded to them living here as opposed to living in Scotland. You know, we visit our family very, very frequently in Scotland, and they love going up to see their cousins and et cetera, and their grandparents. However, I mean, just for example, just about 6 weeks ago, I took my oldest son Nathaniel, I was a helper on his school trip, and we went to the Shakespeare Globe Theatre. And, you know, you just, unfortunately, London's the only city in the world that you can do that. And that's just a normal thing. I mean, you know, when I was...
We've got fantastic theatres here, as you know, Ian.
Can I just come in on that?
Yes, Graham.
Point. The other thing I wanted to mention is the architecture in London is phenomenal, and there's such a wide variety, and the Globe Theatre is a classic example of a regenerated part of London. And obviously we've got the Olympics going on, the regeneration of Stratford, but we've got the real modern buildings, such as the Gherkin, nicely referred to in the city.
We've got an armadillo.
Or the armadillo. They're quite cosy when you tickle their tummies. But, you know, I'm a surveying background, building background, is my original background before I was in the media. And I just love the architecture in London. I travel all over the world, but the architecture in London, the variety of it and the demographic of it is phenomenal.
Can I just say Charles Rennie Mackintosh?
Sure.
Greek Thompson.
If I can just come in there and just say that, you know, in my job, I travel around all the major cities in England, and the regeneration which has taken place in Manchester, in Leeds, and in Liverpool and Newcastle over the last 10 years actually has followed the example which Glasgow set in the early 90s when revamping all the Georgian and Edwardian buildings. And so it's wrong to say that, you know, all wonderful architecture exists only in London, because actually the major cities in England are beautiful now to go and visit and to actually stay there.
They are.